Thank you very much. Hopefully I'm on. Am I on? Very good. Is the hearing loop on? We've had a few issues with that, so apologies on previous days. I'm just going to move a few things around. That's not going to move. Well, children, I'm very glad you're... Oh, yeah, I can take my face mask off. Lovely. I'm very glad to be able to smile at you. Let's bow our heads and pray, shall we? God, our Heavenly Father, our conviction is that this is your word and it's you speaking to us. And so we pray from the very youngest to the very oldest that you'd have something to say to each of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Great. I hope, adults, you've got a Bible. There is a big stack at the back. So I think if you can't see that passage, I always say I've really nothing useful to say apart from what's in the Bible. So if you do put a hand in the air, I think someone will be able to just bring one round. So I'm just looking out. So there's definitely a few people who haven't got Bibles. Come on, let's get a Bible. That'd be brilliant. Hugh and Katie, would you mind just throwing a few of those out? Brilliant. And the main bit we're looking at is that second reading in Exodus 12 and from verse 21 there. Now, children, I'm very glad you're here. Question we're thinking about is, what makes the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian? What makes the difference? And adults, you can see in chapter 11, verse 7, it says that God will make a distinction. So he'll show the difference. He'll show the difference. So what made the difference then between the Israelites, who were God's people, and the Egyptians? And what makes the difference today between a Christian and a non-Christian? And I've got the answer in a pot here. So would anyone like to come and have a look at that pot? I've got the answer in a pot. Come and have a look. What's in there? I'm wondering if that's the wrong pot, actually. What's in there?
Mud.
Oh, it's mud. That's not the right pot. I'm sorry. I got confused. So you never know when you might need some mud, particularly when you've got Georgia around or Rufus. I know they like mud. Do you like mud? No, mud doesn't make the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian. What does make the difference? Ah, here's the right pot. I knew I had it somewhere. It's supposed to be blood. Okay, it is paint. But look at that. Now, I want you to imagine that thick, yucky, gooey paint. Okay, sit down. Now, the Bible passage we just read shows that actually the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian is blood, which is a very surprising thing, is blood. Let's have the next slide, shall we? So we can just scroll through. I don't think I've got the clicker. Let me get the clicker. What makes the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian is blood. Now, I think, grown-ups, we're going to have to try and work that out. Children, are you sitting up really straight? Now, Exodus tells the real-life story of God's rescue. Okay, we've been reading in our newspapers about Afghanistan and the Taliban and how we pray that God would rescue ordinary people. But 3,500 years ago or so, God did something very, very unusual and special in history. He intervened himself to rescue, not from the Taliban. Who did he rescue from? From Pharaoh. Good try though, Charlie. He rescued from Pharaoh, who was another evil leader who had 1 million people in slavery. And it was an appalling time. And so God raised up Moses, who was an 80-year-old, who went to Pharaoh, the most powerful man on the planet, and said, "Let God's people go. God wants them back." And Pharaoh said, "No way, Jose. Definitely not." So God sent 10 plagues, and I've got some pictures of them here. So here's one of the plagues. Can anyone tell me what that is?
Frogs.
Now, who would like to find frogs in their cereal? What about if you got in a nice warm bath and suddenly 15 frogs jumped in with you? Okay, what's this one? It's actually a locust. Now, haven't we been frustrated that these shops have been a bit depleted? But imagine the locust had eaten everything and there was nothing to eat. Rub your tummy. Oh, I'm so hungry. Okay, next one. Anyone know what this one is?
A boy.
Lots of spots.
Lots of spots.
I went to Bramber Castle yesterday with a few people and I've got some mosquito bites.
I've got those.
Okay, shh, shh, shh.
Well,
this was worse than a little bloody leg like you've got there, Amelia, and it was worse than all of my itchy mosquito bites. It was pussy boils all over your body. Now, what do you think this one is?
Rain.
It's
a hailstone.
Okay, well done, it's hailstones. Now, when I was growing up, my mum and dad kept telling me off for playing with my hockey ball, because they said I might break something if I did this. They said it'd be very dangerous if I just keep... Can you imagine God throwing millions of these from the sky all over the land of Egypt? Many, many things would have got broken. Then there was another plague, the plague of darkness. So cover your eyes, the plague of darkness. And you couldn't see for 3 days. These were very, very terrible plagues, children. They were very, very terrible. How angry God must have been with evil Pharaoh. How much he must have cared for his people that he would send such horrible things to set them free. He's the ultimate freedom fighter. He's the one who cared so much for their pain and their misery. And so he sent these horrible plagues. Do you think Pharaoh listened? No. In fact, he said no 9 times. Can you do that with me? No, 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 no. And so, adults, chapter 11, verse 1, God said, I'm going to send one final plague, and then Pharaoh will let the people go. And here's the last plague. It's a gravestone. That's right, it's a very serious thing, isn't it? God said he's the one who gives life, and if Pharaoh was going to say no again and again and again, God says, well, okay, I'll have that life back that I've given you. And he would send death. Now, adults, these are difficult things to hear, aren't they? And we had a whole sermon last week thinking about the goodness and justice of God in spite of the fact that he sends these judgments. So do download that. Now, here's some buildings. A few of them have fallen down because they've been made by some shoddy workmen. But whether you lived in Grand Avenue or down on Tower Hill or Monk's Close, whether you lived up by the Downs or down by the beach, whether you lived in a great big palace like Pharaoh or even a doghouse, actually Pharaoh's palace has fallen down, God's plague of death was coming. And it would come on this house, and 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 this house. I suppose in a way, children, it's a little bit like the coronavirus. Can we all just sit up nice and straight? I suppose it was a little bit like the coronavirus, apart from, because the coronavirus has got everywhere, hasn't it? Apart from, could you stop it? You can sit down, but I just want you to sit with a really straight back and look at me. Sit down. Thank you, Tabitha. Could you stop God's plague of death with this?
No.
No, you couldn't. What about? What about with this alcohol gel? You couldn't. You couldn't. It was coming. There was one thing that made the difference. Just one. Blood. Blood was the only thing that could make the difference. And so, that's what God commands. Through Moses in verse 21. And this is our key chunk, adults, if we look down there. Verse 21, go at once and select an animal for your family and kill the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop, that's a little bit like a paintbrush, and dip it into the blood and put some of the blood on the top of and both sides of the door frame. Okay, did you hear that? It sounds yucky, doesn't it? Now, first of all, you needed a lamb. So this is our little Tabitha's lammy. Do you want to pass it round? It's quite soft and warm, isn't it? It's got some warm water in it. Let's pass it round. Now, you had to take a lamb. Every family had to take one and welcome it into your home and give it lots of hugs. Let's pass him round. Lammy was actually quite white and clean once upon a time. You had to take a perfect lamb and you passed it round your family for 14 days. You might have given it a name. So we might have called it Lammy Atala. Perhaps that would be a good name, wouldn't it? It's not very original. Or a Lammy Montero or something like that. Amelia, what would you like to call that Lammy? You're really good at names.
I would like to call it Fluffy.
Fluffy, so you could call it Fluffy.
No,
the
name's Lammy.
Lammy became part of your family. Lammy became part of your family and welcomed in, and as though it was one of you. As though it were one of you. But then, let's have Lammy back. Then God said to do something very, very terrible. And I'm sorry if you're a vegetarian, but God said that Lammy had to die. So should we say bye-bye, Lammy? Bye-bye, Lammy. And Lammy goes away in there. But then you had to do something even weirder. You took Lammy's blood. And you had to take the blood and you had to slap it over the door frames of your house. More and more and more and more. I think I just want to be absolutely sure. Because God said that blood was the only thing that could rescue you. So you put it over the door frames of your house. And everyone in Egypt had to do that. Okay, so God said to everyone, quick, get some blood. Get some blood. And some people listened. It doesn't matter who you were, God said, you need the blood. Because, now, children, I'd like you to sit down, please. Tabitha, I'd like you to put Lammy away for a moment. And I'd like you to all sit down. This is the most serious part. They're looking at their watches. It's 7 o'clock. Who goes to bed at 7? We go to bed about 7. And then it's 9 o'clock. And then it's 10 o'clock, and almost everyone's asleep. And then it's 11 o'clock. Shh. And then it's 12 o'clock. And at midnight, God's plague of death passed through the whole land. And it either passed over your house, you can say it passed over your house, do the action, or it passed through your house and somebody died. It either passed over or it passed through. So it either passed over or it passed through your house. Now, children, I want you to help the grown-ups because I'm not sure they're going to get this. Okay, what made the difference? Whether God's plague of death passed over or through? Well, let's have a go. What made the difference? Did God's plague pass over or through this house, Amelia? What did you think? Over. Right. It did. Absolutely. It passed over. Why?
Because that house is too small.
Because the house is too small. Not quite right. Anyone help us? What's this house got that no other houses have got? What's this house got? Blood. Blood is the only thing that makes the difference. It doesn't matter how big your house is, how small it is. Blood was the only thing that made the difference. What about this house? Over or through? Through, very sadly. And somebody would have died. Through, hold on, Lily, you're getting well ahead. Okay. Children, even though... Brilliant. You've nailed it. But let's walk through it slowly and just think it through. So even though this was a really important house, it was a massive house, full of really rich, important people. Pharaoh might have lived there. Does that make a difference?
No.
The only thing that makes a difference is blood. Blood makes a difference. Very good. Over, because of the blood. Even though, hold on a second. Okay, I want you to all sit down, please. I want you to all sit down. Thank you very much. You've really understood so well, but I just want to go slower for the adults because they haven't got it, okay? I'm worried about them. Okay, so can we slow down for the adults? Is that okay? Okay. You said it goes over this house, but these guys were quite mean people, and they never gave any money away, and they were nasty to people. What makes the difference?
Blood.
The blood is the only thing that makes the difference. What about this one? Oh dear. This house keeps falling down. Even though this house falls down, what makes the difference? It goes through, doesn't it? Okay, I'm going to keep answering my own questions at this point. So let's all sit down. I'm going to keep answering my own questions. This house here, even though actually they were quite, together people, most people would have thought, well, they're really nice. What makes the difference is the blood. And so God's judgment would have passed through this one. This one over here, even though it's tiny, wonderfully God saves them. And then this house over here. These guys were really interesting because they went to synagogue or church or whatever they would have had back then. They knew about the Passover, they'd heard. They'd even thought, that's quite interesting, let's talk about that. But on that night, they never got round to putting the blood. And so very, very sadly, although they knew a lot, they'd never trusted God, and the judgment passes through them as well. Okay, we're doing really well. I've got a couple more things to share with you, and then we're going to sing. Okay, can we all sit back on the mat? The only thing that made the difference between God's people and those who aren't was the blood. Didn't matter how religious they were, it didn't matter how much they did, the only thing that made the difference is that a lamb that was perfect had died in their place. So that the lamb died so that they didn't. So it was the lamb's blood rather than their blood. And all of this shows us what we too need. Because the Bible says that like the Israelites and the Egyptians, we have all sinned, which is to say, no, 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 no to God. And we do that, and we say no to God's good word, and we say no to knowing God and his love. And I do that, and you do that. And the Bible says very, very sadly that each of us deserve God's judgment and death. The God who gives life can take it. So, if this is the house of our lives, it's collapsed. If this is the house of our lives, and one day we're going to face God's judgment, what can we put on the house to keep us safe? Oh, I'm a good person. Should we put that on the house? Is that going to keep you safe? No! What about, well, I go to church. Is that going to keep us safe? Is that going to keep us safe, anyone? Boys? Is it going to keep us safe? No! What about, well, my family are all Christians. Is that going to... No, the only thing we need, and this is a very important verse that's going up on the screen now. There's a verse going up on the screen. In the New Testament, it says, Jesus, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Jesus, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Now, if you're all very sensible, you're allowed in the tent. But if anyone wiggles or makes too much noise or laughs or giggles, then I'm going to get you out, okay? But who would like to go in the tent? Yeah, okay, let's all go in very quietly, very quietly. Very quietly. Adults, verse 22, have a look. Verse 22. It says, none of you should go out of the door of your house until morning. So none of you should go out. Don't worry, Charlie, you're okay, because you just don't feel like it. But if you're inside, you're completely safe. You're completely safe because Jesus was perfect. He was the perfect lamb. He lived the perfect life, and yet he came to die on a cross. And his blood was painted on the wood. His blood was painted on the roof. And so when God sees the cross of Jesus, his judgment doesn't pass through, it passes over. No matter what we've done, and no matter who we are, because Jesus, the Lamb of God, has already died for us. And so, children, God's judgment is never, ever, ever, ever going to pass through because it's already been taken by Jesus. Now, that's what it means to be a Christian. Jesus' blood makes all the difference. So let me take a seat. I've got a little bit more to share. What makes the difference between a Christian and somebody who's not a Christian? What makes the difference? Blood. Jesus' blood. Okay, and that makes the difference at the start, as we're forgiven and we're rescued. But actually, the passage tells us that it needs to make the difference all the way through our lives. So, from verse 24, adults, I wonder if you can see there. God says, obey these instructions, Israelites, as a lasting ordinance for you and your descendants. When you enter the land the Lord will give you, as he promised, observe this ceremony. And when your children ask you, I think this is why it's okay to look at this with children, isn't it? When your children ask you, what does this ceremony mean to you? Then tell them, It is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord, who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes when he struck down the Egyptians. Then the people bowed down and worshipped. Now we have a man called Malcolm who's normally here, sits about here on a Sunday, and he was brought up Jewish. So he's an Israelite. And 3,500 years after the Exodus, he'll tell you that he was brought up taking the Passover meal with lamb and bread. God really, really wanted his people to remember the blood. And God really, really wants Christians to remember the blood of Jesus, which is why we take the Lord's Supper. And you know, even in heaven, Jesus, yeah, brilliant. Even in heaven, Jesus will be known as the Passover lamb. He'll be remembered that way. So what makes Christians different, not just at the start, but all the way through our lives? It's not that we're somehow better than other people. It's not that we're more religious. It's not that, you know, it's not the things we do. The only thing that counts is Jesus' blood. And I'd just like to explain, as we start to close, two ways in which that totally transforms a person's life. How it's changed my life and children, how I think it changes your mum and dad's lives, and how it can change our lives as well. And the first one is this, if we could have it up. Jesus' blood shows that we're very, very precious to him and to God. Writing to some down-and-out Christians, Peter in the New Testament says, "You were redeemed, not with silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus." Now, children, listen in. If your parents or maybe a brother or sister gives you a chocolate, blood has gone everywhere. If they give you a chocolate which has been melted by Lammy, that's a bit of love, isn't it? Should we have one of these? Let's pass those round. Now, children, as you have one of those, if your mum wakes up 3 or 4 times in the night to feed a baby brother or sister, that's quite a bit more love, isn't it? If your grandma gives up everything to care full time for your granddad, that's really big love. I have one question for you. How much has Jesus given up? Has he just given us chocolate?
No.
How much has Jesus given us? He's actually died for us. He's given us his blood. Now that's love that's so high, we'll never get over it. It's so high. And that is why we praise, isn't it? The Israelites bow down and worship because of the Passover lamb. And that's why I just love hearing you sing and joining in and shaking and so on. But it's also how we know that we're really precious. It's how we know we're really precious. The love of God was supposed to be the secure foundation for this Israelite nation as they became a new nation. It was supposed to be their identity. Just as a child needs unconditional love, we'll all know that, won't we, to grow up well, and a sense of absolute safety. Well, so God, acting like their father, wanted them to know his love and protection. You never grow out of the need of that, do you? Now, things went wrong for the Israelites as soon as they forgot. They grumbled, and they worried, and they envied the nations around, and that's really the story of the whole Old Testament. They forgot who they were, and they lost their identity. And can I say, many people have done that in our world today. They just don't know about this high, wide, long love of God. They don't know how precious they are to him. And so they feel, well, am I precious to anyone? It's not just children who need to feel loved. And I think our world has lost this. And actually, so often Christians do as well. We need to keep remembering, I'm so precious, not because, I don't know, I'm pretty, or because I'm really strong, or because I'm super fast. I'm precious. The thing that makes the difference is the blood. And that shows us just how much Jesus must think of us, that he would give this for you and I. Children, you are so precious. You're so precious. Now, adults, I was reading a book this week that shows that secular studies, so those from non-Christians, show that actually those who find their identity in Jesus are 30 to 50% more psychologically healthy Doesn't solve all our problems, does it? But that's interesting, let alone our impact in the impact in eternity for us. We need this knowledge that because of the blood, we're precious to God. Here's the second thing we need. We need to realize that because of Jesus' blood, our lives belong to God. The verse that speaks here of Jesus, our Passover lamb, being sacrificed, goes on to say this. Therefore, you are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Now, every firstborn son in Israel would have known that for sure, right? They wake up the next day. I'm only here because of the blood. They go through each day of their lives. I'm only here because of the blood of the lamb. Someone's died for me. Well, so for you and I. Now, I just want you to imagine you're down on the beach. We built a raft this week and we went down the beach. But I want you to imagine that you're down on the beach and a friend of yours has drifted out to sea on a silly raft that somebody's made or something. But you're a really good swimmer. And so you swim out to rescue them and you pull them all the way to safety. But on the way back, you get them safe, but you damage yourself. You smash your legs up on the rocks and you end up sadly in a wheelchair. You've rescued them, but it's cost you so much. Now imagine a few years on meeting that friend of yours and you're still in a wheelchair. And you discover that they have been a complete muppet with their lives. They've dropped out of school, they've beaten up their friends and lost all their friends, they've done loads of bad stuff, and they've run away from home. How would you feel? Such a waste, isn't it? Do you know what I would want to do? I'd want to take them by the scruff of the neck and I'd want to show them my legs and say, look, I'm in a wheelchair for you. Okay, what are you doing? You are completely wasting the life that I've given you. And Jesus says to us, if we're clowning around, you are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. And Christian people live differently, not to get to heaven. Not because we need to earn something, but because Jesus has already saved us. And our lives belong to him now. So although this is an all-age talk to children, I just want to speak very briefly to adults. Such a challenge, isn't it? Not to waste the life that Jesus has given us. Because of the blood, we're precious to Jesus. And we belong to Jesus. I'm going to pray. Father God, thank you so much for what Jesus did for us. And some of us may never have heard this before. Please help us understand. For those who've trusted Jesus' blood before, help us know that we're safe and there'll never be a judgment that passes through us. And help us know that we're so precious to you. How we need to know that love. And help us know that our lives belong to you. And so we each of us, as we walk out this door, want to live, not wasting this precious gift, but using our lives for the Lord Jesus. Amen.